Hello and welcome to the Worcester Observer podcast. I'm your host, Rob George, and joining us again this week to look through everything you'll be reading on worcesterobserver.co.uk and, of course, in the paper and, of course, on social media is Claire Bullivant. Claire, welcome.
Hello, Rob. How are you?
Yes, not so bad. Yourself?
I'm good. I'm good. It's a lovely, beautiful, sunny morning today.
It is. As we record this, summer is here. I don't know why we say record this, because I think the weather forecast for the next week's like lovely, so wherever you listen to this,
yay, summer has arrived. But we're both just complaining, aren't we, of being exhausted?
Yes.
What were we obviously doing all night last night? Because I didn't sleep.
Not together.
Did you? Not, oh well, yeah.
Not together, obviously.
I'm going to start causing rumours now. I'm sorry.
We weren't together.
We're going to have to try and sound alive and awake this morning on this podcast.
We're going to have to try. There we go. There's a headline that we've got a very close working relationship.
My mind didn't even go there, Rob.
No, mine. Well, mine's in the sewer. Everyone who knows me will tell you that it's in the sewer most of the time. I didn't sleep. I gave up at 3 a.m. and I ended up watching the Cricket World Cup highlights at 3 a.m. this morning because the insomnia hit really badly.
We're doing well, though, aren't we, in the cricket?
At the moment, yes. We win today, semi-final guaranteed.
Oh, okay.
But as the Lionesses showed last night, as we record this on Wednesday, English teams get to semi-finals. Heartbreak usually ensues.
I know.
Predicted that.
Did you?
I said it's an English team in a football World Cup semi-final. Someone's going to miss a penalty.
But you know what? I was watching it and I was... Because, you know, I've lived in America on and off for the last 11 years. And I was listening to the commentary and the commentator was sort of saying, oh, well, if America get another one, there's no way we'll pull back from that, and la, la, la. And I was just thinking the difference between an American commentary and a British commentary. It pervades into the psyche, doesn't it? Like in America, they would be going, we've got this, this is ours, we've got this, we're going to win this, we're going to win this. Even if there's 1 second to go, they will be saying, oh, my God, America's going to win. America. Whereas Britain, it's... We're very cautious sometimes. I think we need
to... Yes, we don't like success.
But it's annoying, isn't it?
But I've always thought everyone in America is awesome no matter what they've done.
Exactly, this is true.
I mean, I must admit, I do take in the NFL commentaries and the NFL commentators on all the major networks in America. They're all very different. You've got the Fox guys, they're a little bit very shouty, just like, and he's in the end zone. And then you've got your more esteemed commentators, your Al Michaels. That might be the first time Al Michaels has been mentioned on a British podcast for NBC. Very sort of relaxed, but...
But they're always positive.
But very positive, yeah.
Up until the last second,
but
they're
always
positive.
But we don't expect success.
I know. But maybe that's because it pervades into our psyche. We're told constantly, oh, we're not going to get there if they miss this. And it just trickles into...
But I don't think as Brits we enjoy success. And we should do. We should do more of it.
I'm not very successful, but I do enjoy it when it comes along.
No, I do as well. And I've always admired... if you look through British sport, we've had people that have been geniuses in their field.
Absolutely.
But they've never... If they were... I always say if they were another nationality, they'd be lauded. They'd be like gods. Mm. Whereas we always find something to criticise.
Yeah.
I mean, Lewis Hamilton in Formula One, he's going for his 6th world championship.
Amazing.
But then... Some articles, it's like, oh yes, but he does live in Monaco.
Yeah.
Well, if you had the money he did, you'd go and live in Monaco. If someone said to me, if you can go to somewhere where you don't pay any tax at all, I'd go. And anyone that says that they wouldn't is a hypocrite.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
He's not breaking the law. He's just moved to a country where there is no tax. Mm. It's not like he's staying in England and avoiding paying tax.
Yeah. But it would be nice one of these days to win another World Cup. So even if it's the cricket, I'm happy with that.
What do you mean, even if it's the cricket?
Well, you're talking to me here. I don't know anything about cricket at all.
No.
But I tell you what I did think last night watching the football. The next World Cup, instead of them saying score when we score, I think we should say roar and have the whole crowd roaring. I think that would be intimidating and very British and...
We don't do intimidate. I was very impressed, and I read up a little bit about the American football team. They've not lost for like 2 World Cups in a row.
Hmm.
The last time they lost was like 3 World Cups ago. How good do you have to be at sport not to...
But I don't even know if it is that they're that much better or anything. They're just so determined and dogmatic in winning. Hmm. Nothing else will do, and they tell you that constantly. when you're in America. It's on every news channel. You do feel like you live in a bubble sometimes, because you don't realise the rest of the world is, all these terrible things are happening. Yeah. Everything is very positive. Everything is very happy. There's no problem. America is best. America always wins. And that's what you're kind of told in and out. And okay, it might not be right, but it's actually a nice way to live. Yeah. And
there's a positive mindset, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I mean, Barack Obama came to the presidency with one word, hope.
Mm-hmm.
That, if that's not positive, then...
Yeah.
I don't know. I think... I wasn't great into the tournament. I couldn't tell you how England got on in the group stages of this tournament, but I watched the knockout phases. And I'm really impressed that the nation as a whole has got behind women's football, because it is growing.
Absolutely.
And it's been fantastic to see female commentators, we know there's female presenters anyway. I think Gabby Logan has done a terrific job.
Absolutely. And
anchoring live sport is fantastic. And it's nice that the British commentator was a man, but it was very, I think, reflective of how we are as a society now, that the BBC went, we are going to have the coverage fronted by a woman.
Yeah.
Totally. They haven't just got, but so-and-so is more senior. No, they went. And I think that's important. I'm left with a lot of enthusiasm about this country. I really am.
Me too. And the other thing is, we may have invented the game, but American women have been playing soccer longer than we have in Britain. Because I do remember being 15 years old, and one of my school friends, she's American, she came to England for a couple of years and went to school with me. And when she went back, I remember speaking to her and she's saying, oh yeah, I'm playing in soccer. And I was like, what? I'd never heard of a girl playing soccer before, apart from maybe with your brother in your back garden or something.
Yeah.
But she went on to like play soccer at college and university and everything in America. And we still weren't playing that. And I'm not that old. This wasn't that long ago.
No.
So, I mean, it is a relatively new thing for us.
I just wish they would call it football.
Yeah, that's
but obviously
true.
The biggest game in America is football. And ironically, like less than 5% of the game is actually where they use the foot.
I call it hand egg when I'm in America to annoy all the Americans. I'm like, hand egg.
This is why she's been home for so long. She's been chased out of the country.
They won't have me back.
But I can't wait for that new season as well. That's my Sunday. My Sunday nights are a bit blank at the moment. As soon as the NFL starts, that's me till the early hours of the morning.
It is exciting.
Even more tired on a Monday morning. How have we segued onto that?
Back to
Worcester, although I am looking out the window to see if our B friend will join us for the third week in a row. But we have shut the window now, so he can't get in.
Yeah,
unless he's already here, in which case, do come and join us, Mr. B. We had a fan. It's nice that the B community have listened to a podcast.
He's probably outside enjoying the sunshine.
It probably is, to be fair, Atlanta, because it looks stunningly warm outside.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Let us take you through, as I said at the very start, which seems like ages ago now because we just started talking, some of the stories you'll be reading on WorcesterObserver.co.uk. And tragically, one of the stories that have been, fair to say, has dominated our website over the weekend and into the early part of this week is that investigations are continuing, sadly, after an 18-year-old boy was found in, I should say man, an 18-year-old man was discovered in the River Severn on Monday morning after reports of an individual falling into the River Severn from Sabrina Bridge in the early hours of Saturday morning. As we record this is very much a live story. No formal identification has taken place or which has been communicated to us by the police. And we know nothing else further. And as editor of the paper, and I think as part of the community, we're not going to speculate on what has happened. We're going to talk in fact, and the fact is that an 18-year-old boy, 18-year-old man, has tragically lost his life after falling in to the River Severn from Sabrina Bridge. This is just 9 months, of course, after the case of Tom Jones, who was found in the River Severn 9 days after going missing. And it just shows the danger posed by something so beautiful, but it is deadly. And I don't intend on speculating. I'm not going to go anywhere other to say that the River Severn is beautiful, but it does pose a danger, whether that's flooding or whether that's jumping in to cool off.
Is this bridge the same bridge that Tom...
This is the one he crossed and then walked down further down Hilton Road. Right. Yes, this is the last time he was seen. Was.
And I was following your social media and website updates as it happened over the weekend, Rob. And I remember, I think the first update you said, a man has fallen and a picture was released of the missing man or something. So people had been there and they'd seen him fall into the river, is that right?
The alarm was raised, we understand, at 12:52 a.m. on Saturday morning when somebody had seen an individual fall from the bridge into the river.
And then nobody could find anything for about a day.
It was the alarm was raised, and then as you rightfully say, about I think just before 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, the police released an image of the individual. They wanted to identify. Initially, they wanted to identify the individual, but it later transpired that they wanted to identify him because they were sure he was the one that was missing. And on Sunday morning, as I said, this is still an ongoing story. This Saturday, Sunday developed again on Monday. That the individual whose image was released was the person that they had then declared missing. So they knew they were searching for him.
Right.
And then they confirmed that he was missing and the search had continued.
And then a body has been found.
And a body has been found.
But we haven't put two and two together to say that that is the person, although social media are jumping to conclusions.
I'm more than happy to say that the body that was found, based on all the conversations and based on the tone of the police, is the body of the individual that went missing.
Right. Oh, and so the, sad.
Probably the... And it's... near enough a cast iron certainty.
Mm.
It's about 98% certain that the body is that of the image pictured, which we have withdrawn the image from our website as a mark of respect, really, because it's not something... It was part of an identification request. The police had identified him. We don't want his image to be out there. It will be on our social media channels still, but on our website, I've taken it off our website.
Mm.
Out of respect, I would say that on social media he has been named as Alessandro Fremenzi, who is believed to be a student originally from Leverkusen in Germany, although I will caveat it, as I've done in my piece for the website, that none of that is confirmed, so take that with a pinch of salt.
Yeah,
none of that
we have to be very clear, confirmed. Don't we, as the newspaper, we can't say anything until it's confirmed.
But more than one source online has identified him as...
Oh, it's so terribly
this,
sad, isn't it?
This young man. So I'm more than happy to put his name in the paper, but with the caveat that none of that has been confirmed. The next port of call is for the police to confirm that with us. And what I'm going to do whilst I'm talking is just look at the police website. No, we haven't got nothing yet. So I thought if there was something as we were talking, we could update it, but there isn't.
Because with all this beautiful weather, of course... comes these dangers. People do see water and jump in,
yeah.
And they think it's a bit of fun sometimes.
Indeed.
Other people just want to go for a swim and cool off, and other people, you know, if it's a beautiful sunny or hot evening coming home from the pub, you don't know what happens. And
you don't.
I was reading online earlier that last year 585 people drowned in this country.
Yeah.
That's one every 20 hours.
Yeah.
So over one a day, it's
staggering.
It is staggering.
And you look, and you know, we take great delight in representing a beautiful city, and I'm often found, if when I'm in the city, to be found wandering by the Severn, because let's face it, it's a beautiful waterway.
Mm.
But it is dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, I was struck. I remember we did the story, and I think we spoke about it on the podcast. Thomas's mom, Vicky, who never understood the dangers until she found out more from the Royal Life Saving Society. And without speculating, and we don't want to go either way with this, if you are tempted, just don't, because you don't know. The Severn is, it's wonderful and it looks lovely, but it is still water at the end of the day. It's not a paddling pool. It's not a nice lake that's, you know, marshalled by people. It is a river.
And you don't know what's under the surface either. A friend of mine, not a friend of mine, a person I kind of knew, he was in my kind of group when I was at uni. He ended up diving off the bridge in Oxford and hitting a supermarket trolley that you couldn't see. And to this day, he's paralysed from his neck down. So he survived, but he ended up, he's paralysed. I mean, you can't come back from that, can you? It ruins lives. So just stay away from water. If you do want to go swimming anywhere, go to your local swimming park or something.
It does look like it would cool off. And yes, the water temperatures are still very low, but it does have a danger. And if you get into trouble, Thomas, you know, we know from a coroner's inquest, I can talk about Thomas's death because a coroner has ruled on that. It is powerful. It will drag you in. There will be no.
Yeah, I never really understand about the currents and the.
No, I don't fully.
But you can just hit one, can't you, and be swept along and dragged under.
But it is so very sad. Keep a watch on WorcesterObserver.co.uk because the moment the police bring us any news, we will transmit that to you, especially if there's a name and any further details. As far as we know, there is still an investigation taking place, but it's just a very, very sad state of affairs. And
how horrible for his poor family. Our heartfelt condolences to the individual concerned.
Absolutely. I just think this is just 9 months on. This is another family in mourning, another son with his whole life in front of him, having now to be buried by his parents who, from the moment he was probably born, they never expected to be burying him.
And how awful if they are, you know, in another country.
It's absolutely staggering. Terrible. Our thoughts and our sympathies with them. And just a mention for the West Mercia search and rescue team who took part in the rescue and actually did recover the body. They do a wonderful job in what can be, I'm sure, is truly horrific circumstances when they actually discover what they discover, and full credit to them for the assistance they provide the police on cases such as this. As I said, though, we'll bring you all the latest we can on WorcesterObserver.co.uk now the papers come out, and we'll hopefully see this develop into whatever it develops. One hopes it's a tragic accident, but we'll see where the police inform us from now on. Turning to something a little bit brighter, and another young person with a future in front of her. It's Amberlee Pettifer. I hope I've got that name right. Who, believe it or not, is going to be taking to the stage in Joseph and His Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Young girl, she's 10 years old. She attends Our Lady Queen of Peace Primary in St John's, and also the Crescent Ballet School. We'll give them a mention as well. She's going to be taking to the stage Jamie Hensley, but it's the weirdest spelling of Jamie I've ever seen. J-A-Y-M-I. From Union J, the younger amongst you will know who Union J are. This old man won't know what they are, but she's a young girl from Worcester. She's going to be taken to the stage at the Hippodrome
for
the next 2 weeks in Joseph.
Well done, Amberlee. Amazing.
A fantastic time, and Jamie will be following in the footsteps, of course, of, and I had to reel off the
Jason Donovan,
Philip Schofield, and Lee Mead.
Oh, wow, amazing.
It's one of the first musicals I went to see, Joseph.
Oh, it's the best. I remember doing it at school, and I just fell in love with all the songs.
I'd have
amazing.
Loved to have done
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's really good.
But now, good luck with Amberlee as well. And I could actually, speaking to her mum, we did the story and spoke to her mum. She's also taking her ballet exams as well. So there's one very, very busy 10-year-old there at the moment. Good luck to her.
Oh. brilliant. What an experience as well. I remember when I was little, the girl at my best at my best friend's house, the girl next door, was in Annie at the Hippodrome, and she was a couple of years older than us, and we used to hear her practicing through the door with the we'd like be there with our glasses up to my friend's bedroom wall and listen to her, and oh my goodness, it was just the most incredible thing in the world. So for her to have a role, an actual role in Technicolor Dreamcoat, wow, what an achievement. Well done, you. We'll all have to go and see it.
We will all have to. Another thing we've got to go and see, I think this is going to be terrific. From a galaxy far, far away comes an absolute must-see for fans of Star Wars, an exhibition of vintage Star Wars toys and original cinema posters is going on display in Worcester City Art Gallery and Museum from Saturday the 20th of July all the way through the summer holidays. Now, speaking to people who know Star Wars, one in particular in our subs, in our sub-editing team,
who's
who,
that?
James Earl, very keen
oh,
on
really?
Star Wars. But he assures me that this will be a must see. If you just go on the website, there is just a toy C-3PO.
That's a very good picture, actually. Next to the statue. Next to Elgar.
That's next to the Elgar statue in Cathedral Square.
And they're kind of standing the same stance.
It's a brilliant, brilliant picture. I will give Andy Burton, who took it, full kudos for it, because he's made C-3PO look tiny compared to Edward Elgar. It's brilliant. What is it? Not landscaping?
What? Portrait.
Perspective.
Oh, yeah, the perspective. Yeah.
It is absolutely terrific. These toys, they're in mint condition, but they're being exhibited. It's going all around the country, and it's coming to Worcester for the whole summer, so it's during the summer holidays. So, dads, if you are mad on your Star Wars, this is a great chance to take your kids. There are, allegedly, rumour has it, that there will be some stormtroopers coming to Worcester.
Oh, fine.
We are going to take as many pictures as we can, because I think... And allegedly, the mayor of Worcester will be accompanied to the opening on the 20th of July by two stormtroopers.
Brilliant. I wonder what it is. Star Wars just, it captures the imagination,
it
doesn't
does.
It?
I
and
mean,
everyone just loves it.
I mean, there was a lot going on at the time, but it just, you're right, it captured not just the UK, but the world. It just, I think the only thing in modern times I would equate it to is the Harry Potter phenomenon.
Yeah.
Without the toys.
Absolutely.
Oh, I always get confused by it, because I watched one film and I happened to mention it to another friend and said, oh, they're making a prequel about the one before that film. I was like, well, so...
Yeah, they didn't do it in the right order,
no.
Did they?
But hang on, I've just watched that film and you're telling me they're making
that's
something...
That's their mum and dad.
You're making a film about something that came before what I've just sat through.
Exactly.
I don't...
And have you ever tried Wookiee, Rob?
Pardon?
Have you ever eaten Wookiee?
No.
Bit chewy. I was trying to wangle that joke in somehow and I couldn't. I just had to come out and tell you my favourite Star Wars joke.
I wish we could have set that up a lot, but I think it was funny. If we had a sound effect, we could have the din-din-din.
Exactly.
I generally thought, because you're so well-travelled, I thought, oh, is this some food delicacy in California or something?
Aliens came down and we caught a Wookiee and ate him.
I do want a couple of public service announcements, because you know we try and do public service announcements. Organisers of the Worcester Victorian Fair. Now, I know it's November. I'm sorry to talk about something close to Christmas, but stick with me, because they're on the hunt for amateur choirs, bands, dance groups, soloists, and ensembles. That's the first time I've said ensemble on the podcast, because I wanted to get that in, to perform at the event, which regularly attracts 100,000 visitors to the city.
Wow.
So if you've got a talent like that, the deadline for registration to perform is Friday, September the 6th. Call Claire Giles on 01905 722 501 or Christmas at worcester.gov.uk. Great chance for you to showcase your talents on the brilliant, brilliant Victorian Fair that is just going to once again bring people. And
it's normally over like 3 or 4 days, isn't it?
It is at the end of November, and it's going to mark the I'm sorry to say this, but forgive me, but it's in the context of promoting the story. It will mark down the countdown to Christmas. That's it. I promise I won't mention it again till the autumn.
You can mention Christmas. I don't mind. Christmas is... Yeah, but I always look forward to Christmas.
No, don't like the idea. It's warm and sunny outside. Let's have summer first before...
That's true.
And also as well, something you're going to have to notice if you're listening to this on the move. Cathedral Square, there's a giant green bit turned up. And when you listen to this, you'll actually see what it is. But I've seen the picture. I've seen a picture this morning, and it will explain itself eventually. It's a pop-up park.
What do you mean?
It's like
grass,
greenery, fake grass,
fake grass
in the centre of Cathedral Square. Picture yourself there.
So they've just sort of rolled out a big grass carpet kind
of
thing.
No, not just that. Not just that. It's even better. They've created a grass sofa type thing to sit on.
Okay.
It is brilliant. It looks brilliant, and it looks brilliant even with nothing on it.
And how big is it?
It looks. But I haven't got the specifics.
Oh, can we get a photo for next week's paper, please?
We're hoping to have something sent to us, and it'll be on Worcester. I've delayed the story. It's gone in the paper today, but it'll go on the website on Friday.
Right.
And they're going to send us pictures today because it all kicks off today. But it's all about bringing people together, story time for the little ones, to a yoga and a bit of a gin festival for the adults as well.
Sounds ideal.
So it's like a park right in the centre of Cathedral
Square.
Get
a bit of exercise in and then get your gin.
Indeed. Indeed. The magic starts this weekend as the Hive takes over the park with a Harry Potter Day. And of course, we've got the Worcester Carnival coming through as well. Sincerest good luck to everybody involved with the carnival. Hopefully we can have a great... report on it next week and maybe talk about it more.
Brilliant.
On the podcast next week.
Loads going on.
Fantastic, loads going on. And a welcome pat on the back, should mention this, to our former Mayor of Worcester, Councillor Jabba Riaz. He ended his year in office in May and he handed over £30,000 to three city charities, St Richard's Hospice, Worcester Community Trust and Worcester Live. £30,000 in just 12 months as mayor. Jabba, you're a great man, you know that already, but well done. Absolutely terrific story. I do want to point you in the direction as well. It's been on our website since Sunday, but it is a wonderful story. The family of Praise the Care at the Worcestershire Royal. Worcestershire Royal, we don't often give the hospital. There's bad news. This is a brilliant, brilliant news story. Linda Boseward, 59, from Worcester, was taken to hospital. It's fair to say, I'll let you read the story yourself, but it's fair to say her health has been up and down and things have been very, very bad. But she's at home, healthy with her grandchildren now, all thanks to the care of Worcestershire Royal Hospital. Do read the story because it's a wonderfully inspiring tale. And good health to you, Linda, if you are listening.
Absolutely.
Because
and everyone moans about our hospitals, but Worcestershire Royal saved my dad's life as well a couple of years ago, and I just think they're incredible. The doctors and nurses there, they work so hard, and they're just amazing. Absolutely lucky to have.
I could not agree more. My son was born at the Worcestershire Royal, and because my wife's diabetic, we had extra care throughout the pregnancy, and could not fault them. We were involved all the way through. Just brilliant, brilliant place. And you're right, those on the front line,
incredible,
do an absolutely sterling job. And we've had my son had his adenoids taken out and glue ear dealt with by a consultant at the Worcestershire Royal. And because they go to Kidderminster General one day a week to do operations.
Right.
He is healthy, happy, running around. All down to the care from that brilliant consultant and the team of nurses there. Those on the front line, they deserve a huge, huge pat on the back because I think they do a fantastic job. But I think I've said that anyway, constantly.
Absolutely. But no, another nice paper this week, Rob?
Not too bad at all. I think we've done...
And I'm also very excited about this Any Dream Will Do story on the front page because I think I picked up that first Facebook message. I think it was her mum who messaged us. And sometimes I go through all the social media messages just to check nothing's been left. And I think I was the first to pick this one up. And I said, oh, you should contact our... And so I can't believe it. A front page news story. And but that just shows you, doesn't it? If people have some good news to show, they might end up on the front page of our newspaper.
Exactly. I mean, not to point you in the right wrong direction or anything, but anything that involves good people doing good
things
I will probably consider more for the front page picture than any other one. But yeah, it's because not everyone's got email, and I'm conscious, and sometimes I don't do it because I'm still learning to host a podcast. This is not the finished article. Yes, I know you're all saying, yeah, we can tell. But not everyone's got email, so this is great. If you've got Facebook, it's a brilliant way of interacting Facebook.
And we do, I mean, we do sometimes get hundreds and hundreds of messages, so it might take a day or two to pick them up sometimes. Because we have everything from lost cats and dogs to people moaning about the, you know, their council houses. And so we do get a lot of messages, and for you to have to go through them all, it takes a long time. So there is a team of us who kind of try and go through and filter them out and point the good ones directly to you, Rob, but it's another way of getting in contact with us.
It is a great way of getting in touch. I mean, Facebook, Twitter, and we put the links up and we tag you in. If you've been mentioned on the podcast, you get tagged in on Facebook now. I'm not going to apologise for it, because if you share it, then we'll like you even more. But no, it is a great way, and because not everyone's got email, and sometimes I'm trying to adapt, because at times I can be a bit of a dinosaur, but I'm trying to adapt because at times it is hard to put your laptop on or your computer on and then go into your email program. Whereas most smartphones nowadays, they're not all got email programs. And why would you have your own personal emails hooked up to your phone unless you worked in some sort of business? But everyone's got the Facebook app. It's quickly just people are sitting there. Most of the people we communicate with, I think, have sent us a message from their phone.
And we're even getting loads of messages now on Instagram as well. I think we've got 3,500 Instagram followers.
Oh, is that good?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, we're still new on Instagram. So that's 3,500 people who...
That's not bad.
Yeah, pretty new. So, we're on them all. So you can contact us any way you like.
Indeed. And I'll give you a reminder of all those ways to contact after we've been off to What's On Land and hear about what's going on in the wonderful Faithful City this week with Claire's What's On Worcester Road.
For all the things to do and see this week, it's Claire Bullivant with this week's What's On Guide.
Thanks, Rob. And I'm back with some fun things happening this weekend in town. My name is Claire Bullivant at the Worcester and Malvern Observers, and these are my top picks of things to do and see this week in the Worcester and Malvern areas. Starting off on Friday, the 5th of July, we've got the brilliant Jill Sims coming to Huntington Hall with her Why Mummy Doesn't Give a Beep show. Jill Sims is the best-selling author behind Why Mummy Drinks, Why Mummy Swears, and now it's Why Mummy Doesn't Give a Beep. I just wanted to do that again. So if that sounds like your cup of tea, join her at Huntington Hall on Friday night as she's interviewed and talks about her blog, her books, her character, and much more. She's a lot of fun. Tickets on Worcester Live. Also on Friday, we have the King of Pop in town. Well, he's the next best thing. The world's number one Michael Jackson tribute artist. His name's Navi, and due to his incredible resemblance to the star, Navi was hired once as Michael's official body double. He's also received a standing ovation from Michael Jackson himself once upon a time after he was hired to perform at one of the star's lavish birthday parties, and he was recently chosen by Hollywood to portray Michael Jackson in the new major movie about the star's life. Have you seen it? Searching for Neverland. So don't miss this incredible production featuring all of Michael Jackson's greatest hits. We've got Smooth Criminal, Beat It, Billie Jean, Man in the Mirror, and all the Jackson 5 classics, etc., all performed by Navi with the backing of his incredible live band and dancers in a show suitable for the whole family. It's all happening Friday night at the Swan Theatre. Tickets from Worcester Live. Also on Friday, loads of live music events going on all over the place. To see them all, check out this week's Worcester Observer, and they're also on our website. But to mention a couple just now, the Collar Voice Choir, they're a choral, folk and pop choir. They've got a show on at the Angel Centre in Worcester on Friday. There's also a secret cabaret night happening at Drummond's in Worcester on Friday. That's always good fun there. And as always, a great lineup of live bands, including The Myths and Travino Slacks at Annie's Burger Shack on Friday evening too. Also on Friday evening, it's Museum After Hours at Worcester City Museum and Art Gallery. This is where you can enjoy the museum after hours. So straight after work, go there and there's going to be live music, poetry, cocktails and, of course, all the art. It's a free entry event, always good fun, great for networking and mingling and just having a lovely afternoon, well, evening. And, yeah, hopefully we'll see you there. But as I say, loads going on, so do check out the Worcester and Malvern Observers for the full list. I get through as many as I can on this podcast. But the same goes for Saturday, the 6th of July. Just outside Worcester, near Droitwich, it's the Hanbury Countryside Show on Saturday, all day Saturday. B96 6RD is the postcode via sat-nav there. This is always a brilliant day with a dog show, horse shows, livestock, loads of trade stalls and live music, bars, etc. It's always loads of fun. I try and go every year. hanburyshow.co.uk for all the details for that. Also on Saturday, it's the ELO Experience, the Greatest Hits and More Tour, happening at the Swan Theatre. This is the sensational tribute to the Electric Light Orchestra. The legacy left by Jeff Lynne and the Electric Light Orchestra barely needs any introduction. Suffice to say that between 1972 and 1986, they achieved more combined UK and US top 40 hits than any other band on the planet. Isn't that incredible? Don't Bring Me Down and Mr. Blue Sky are my favourites, but there are so many more. And this tour will include them all from their greatest hits from their very impressive back catalogue spanning over 45 years. For all the details, go to elotribute.com. Again, loads of live music and events on Saturday night. I'll just mention a couple that I want to go to myself. Soul Stripper, the AC/DC tribute band, they're going to be on at the Mars Bar in Worcester on Saturday evening. Jack Blackman, he's performing at Elmley House in Malvern on Saturday. Jack Blackman, he's no stranger to playing in these parts. He's been performing at Upton Blues for almost a decade now, but this is his first time playing Elmsley. His style is kind of, how do I describe it? Early blues mixed with classy songwriting and a folky sensibility. That's kind of how I would describe it. His voice has been described as sounding a lot older and more careworn than his tender years should allow. That was what Acoustic Magazine said of him recently. And he is arguably the best slide guitar player of his generation. He's very impressive. You'll absolutely love him. So do make sure you check him out on Saturday at Elmsley House in Malvern. Then my top picks for Sunday, the 7th of July. It has to start with the Film Orchestra Concert Band happening at 2:30 p.m. at Priory Park in Malvern. This is a part of the Bands in the Park programme and one of the free concert series in Priory Park happening all summer. And these guys are amazing. They play a range of music from the world of film and television. So remember to bring along a blanket, a chair, a picnic and enjoy an afternoon of music with the Malvern Hills as your backdrop. Sounds like an incredible Sunday afternoon. There's also a jazz afternoon going on at Malvern, in Malvern, with Jazz in the Afternoon with Peter Gill and Susie Jacoby. That's all happening at the Cottage in the Wood in Malvern. Love it there. Then at 5 p.m, Neil Iverson is putting on a show at the Imperial Tavern in Worcester, which I always love, and I also love Neil's music. Polly Edwards is performing at 5:30 at the Chestnut in Worcester on Sunday. Then the lovely Meg Shaw, she's also performing on Sunday at Bottles in Worcester, and everyone's favourite Vinnie Peculiar, he's going to be on between 8 and 10 at the Lamb and Flag in Worcester on Sunday evening. Then on Monday, the 8th of July, don't forget it's Fame, the musical, starting at Malvern Theatres. This is the definitive 30th anniversary tour of Fame, the musical, starring some amazing performers. And it's, of course, based on the 1980 phenomenal pop culture film following the lives of students in New York's new high school for the performing arts as they navigate their way through the highs and lows, the romances and the heartbreaks and the ultimate elation of life. It's going to be amazing. Tickets from Malvern Theatres. And that concludes our top picks of things to do this weekend. If you have an event that you'd like included, please do get in touch with us. You can email us your event details or give us a call and we'll help you publicise it to all the readers of the Worcester and Malvern Observers on this podcast, and we'll also pop you on our social media channels. Thanks for listening and have a great week.
Thanks, Claire, and thanks for your contribution again. I think we've done another wonderful podcast there, all being well. Hope you have enjoyed it as well. As I said before, we did the What's On Worcester Roundup. We've got many, many ways of getting in touch with us. We've even enlisted a pigeon. No, I'm joking. But the Twitter bird is still very much working for us. We're at Worcester Obs on Twitter. Search for Worcester Observer on Facebook. And as Claire said, send us a message. Who knows? Your story could be featured in the paper that way. Or if you want to do, I don't want to say it's old-fashioned, but it's still quite new, old-fashioned email, it's editor@worcesterobserver.co.uk. And with that, I actually would say, if you've got any questions for me that you want to pose and want me to answer during a podcast, do let me know. Do send a question in if there's anything you want to know about why we do things, anything more we can tell you about running a newspaper. I think we've told you so much already, and that, with hopefully not being boring, but if you have got a question, do get in touch. editor@worcesterobserver.co.uk. But until then, the sun's gone behind a cloud. We've not been visited by a bee. So I think we'll sign off. I've been your host, Rob George. Thanks to Claire once again.
Thank you.
And we will catch you very, very soon. Till then, I think we're done here. Bye-bye.
Bye.